Have you ever read a book that just like totally changes how you see something?
Oh, yeah.
I just finished this book by Kent Hodge. It's called Studies in Galatians. And it's really got me thinking. It's not just another book about individual salvation.
Right.
It's like a deep dive into this community that Paul was so passionate about. He calls it the Israel of God.
Yeah. And one of the things that's so interesting about Hodge's book is how he kind of pushes back on the traditional way that people have read Galatians.
Okay.
He says that instead of getting caught up in all the kind of theological details, we need to understand that Paul was fighting for this community, this Israel of God, and the way that they were supposed to live.
Okay, so like, why was this community so important to Paul's message?
Well, think about the early church. So you have this huge influx of Gentiles who are coming in, and it's really shaking things up. You have Jewish believers who are trying to figure out how to live alongside these Gentiles, and it's causing a lot of tension and conflict.
So like, it's not just a theological debate, it's like real practical questions about how this community is going to function.
Exactly. And Hodge points out that there were some really key questions that Paul was wrestling with.
Okay.
Like, who are the people of God in this new era? How can they live together peacefully with all of their differences? And what role does this community play in God's plan for the world?
Yeah, those are huge questions. It sounds like it goes way beyond just like, you know, getting saved or
Yeah, it
something.
does. And Paul isn't just writing some kind of theological treatise here. He's addressing a real crisis that's happening in the Galatian church. And he's actually astonished by what he's seeing happening there. He calls it a different gospel, something that is really twisting the heart of the Christian faith.
A different gospel. So what was going on that got Paul so riled up?
Well, according to Hodge, there was this group that were pushing this idea that Gentile converts had to adopt Jewish customs and especially circumcision.
In order to be true followers of Jesus.
So it's like they're saying, okay, you're welcome here, but only if you become just like us.
That's right, and this created a hierarchy
Yeah.
within the church.
Right.
It divided believers based on their ethnicity and their traditions. And Hodge argues that this kind of division totally undermined what Paul believed the gospel was all about.
Yeah, I mean, which according to Hodge is all about radical inclusion and unity. I mean, Paul himself says, like right in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Yeah, that's a key verse.
Yeah.
It really gets to the heart of it. For Paul, faith isn't just mental assent. It's about faithfulness that's lived out in love and service to others. And he goes on to say, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself.
Man, that's a powerful statement.
Hodge is basically saying the core of the Christian faith isn't about, you know, checking off boxes, following a set of rules. It's about creating this radically inclusive community where love is supreme.
And that's a challenging message even today. Hodge forces us to ask ourselves some tough questions, like, are we building walls of division in our own communities, maybe even subtly? Are we putting our traditions or our interpretations of the Bible above love and unity?
It's a tough question.
It is.
So Paul's fighting for this radical inclusive community, this Israel of God.
Right.
But what did this community actually look like?
Well, Hodge paints a really vivid picture based on what Paul describes in Galatians. This wasn't just some kind of abstract concept. It was a real lived-out community where Jews and Gentiles came together as equals.
So like no more us versus them, just like one big family.
That's right. Hodge describes it as being marked by genuine love, joy, peace, and a willingness to serve one another. He even references Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41, where God describes his restored people as like a fragrant incense that's offered up to him. So this Israel of God was meant to be a living embodiment of God's own character, reflecting his love and his unity out to the world.
But that must have been like incredibly countercultural back then, especially in the Roman Empire.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, back then, power, status, self-preservation, those were like the most important things.
Yeah. You're exactly right. This Israel of God was like a total inversion of those values. They were choosing love, equality, and service instead. And it was like turning the world's expectations upside down.
Man, this is blowing my mind. I need to hear more about how this radical way of life challenged the norms back there.
And let's dive into that.
Okay.
The Roman Empire was built on power and control.
Right.
On exploiting the weak for the benefit of the strong.
Mm-hmm.
But here was this community that was living by a totally different set of rules. It's like they were creating this alternative society within the empire.
Yeah.
A living, breathing critique of the way things were. And Hodge argues that this radical way of life was actually a powerful witness.
Huh?
Even without them explicitly preaching or evangelizing,
mm-hmm.
they were a living embodiment of the kingdom of God.
Right.
They were showcasing a different way to be human.
Yeah.
It's like they were saying, this is what's possible when love takes center stage.
That's incredibly inspiring. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean for us today?
Yeah.
Are we called to like recreate the Israel of God in the 21st century?
That's a great question. Let's dive into Hodge's insights and see what lessons we can find for our own lives and our communities today. So Hodge doesn't really give us like a step-by-step guide for how to recreate the Israel of God in our time.
Right.
But he does offer some really insightful connections.
Okay.
And what strikes me is how he connects Paul's letter to this grand narrative of the Old Testament.
Mm. I've always been fascinated by like those connections between the Old and New Testaments.
Right.
What's Hodge's take on that?
Well, he points out that Paul was really deeply rooted in the Hebrew scriptures.
Okay.
And he saw the gospel,
mm-hmm.
this good news of Jesus.
Right.
Not just as something new, but as a fulfillment of God's promises to Israel.
Mm.
And specifically, he draws on those powerful images of liberation and renewal from the Exodus story.
Okay, so he's saying that the Israel of God isn't just some random group.
Right.
It's actually like carrying on the story of God's people throughout history.
Exactly. And Hodge emphasizes that for Paul, the arrival of Jesus wasn't just about, you know, individuals getting their ticket to heaven.
Right.
It was about inaugurating a new era.
Mm-hmm.
A new creation where those old divisions and barriers between people were being torn down.
Okay, so the Israel of God becomes like this embodiment of the new creation,
mm-hmm.
a community that showcases what it means to live as one family no matter what your background is.
Precisely. And Hodge makes it clear that this unity isn't just some kind of fuzzy feel-good concept.
Okay.
It has real concrete implications for how we live our lives. How we treat each other.
Yeah. I'm starting to see how radical this idea really is.
Yeah.
It's not just about believing the right things. It's about embodying like a whole new way of being in relationship with each other.
And this is where Hodge brings in those contrasting ideas from Galatians.
Okay.
The works of the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit.
Okay.
And he's not just talking about personal morality here.
Yeah.
He's talking about the very fabric of our relationships,
mm-hmm.
the way that we interact with each other within the community.
So when Paul talks about the works of the flesh, what's he referring to?
Well, he gives us like a pretty specific list in Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery.
Okay.
Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy.
Gotcha.
Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies.
Whoa. Okay. That's a pretty intense list.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't sound like the ingredients for a healthy community.
It's like a recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah.
And Hodge points out that all of these works of the flesh ultimately stem from self-centeredness.
Okay.
From putting our own desires and needs above the well-being of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about tearing down, dividing, creating chaos.
Okay, so in contrast, the fruit of the spirit would be like the behaviors and attitudes that actually build up a community.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is that Paul describes these fruits not just as individual virtues.
Okay.
But as these qualities that flow out of our connection with God.
Right.
And they shape how we relate to one another. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how those would create like a completely different atmosphere in a community.
Right.
Imagine a place where patience isn't just something you like try to muster up on your own,
mm-hmm.
but it's like woven into the fabric of how people interact with each other.
That's a powerful image. And Hodge makes this really insightful connection.
Okay.
He says that the Israel of God is meant to be a place where this fruit of the spirit can actually flourish.
Okay.
It's like a garden where these beautiful qualities can actually grow and spread.
Yeah.
Impacting not just individuals, but the whole community.
Okay. So it's not just about believing in unity and love. It's about creating a space where those qualities can actually take root and grow. It makes me wonder, though, like, what about the people outside this community?
Mm.
Was the Israel of God just supposed to be like this little self-contained bubble of love, and unity.
That's where Hodge brings in this fascinating idea of the missional purpose of the Israel of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
He argues that this community wasn't meant to just be inward focused.
Right.
They were supposed to be like a sign, a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God,
yeah.
A community that embodied the values of that kingdom and pointed others toward it.
So they weren't just creating like a nice little club for themselves.
Right.
They were meant to be like this beacon of hope.
Yeah.
And transformation for the world around them.
Precisely. Hodge emphasizes that Paul saw this community as playing a key role in God's plan to renew the world.
Wow.
It was like they were this mini kingdom, a little pocket of what God's reign looks like.
Right.
And it was planted right in the heart of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
It's like they were creating this alternative reality.
Yeah.
That challenged the very foundations of their society.
Mm-hmm.
But how did they actually do that?
Yeah.
What made them such a threat to the Roman Empire?
Well, remember how we talked about the works of the flesh?
Yeah.
And how they're all about like division and self-interest?
Right.
The Roman Empire was basically built on those very principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, power, hierarchy, exploitation, that's what kept the whole system running.
Right.
But the Israel of God was living by this completely different set of values.
So like just by living out their faith, by embodying love, equality, service, they were essentially like subverting the whole system.
It's a pretty radical idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Hodge emphasizes that this wasn't some kind of calculated political strategy.
Okay.
It was just like the natural outflow of their transformed hearts.
Right.
Of the love and unity that they experienced within the community.
Yeah, it's like that saying, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary.
Right.
Their very existence was like this challenge to the status quo.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how like we as Christians today can be so focused on defending our beliefs.
Right.
Or like trying to convert people to our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we've kind of lost sight of the fact that like our way of life should be the most compelling argument for our faith.
That's a powerful insight. And Hodge reminds us that the Israel of God wasn't just about feeling good or having a nice community.
Yeah.
It was about embodying this radical alternative to the way the world operates. It was about being a sign, a witness, a living, breathing embodiment of the kingdom of God. And that's a challenge that still resonates with us today.
Yeah, it's a challenge that goes way beyond just attending church or reading our Bibles.
Right.
It's about allowing the gospel to transform our hearts, our relationships, and ultimately our whole way of life.
Right.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Hodge offers some intriguing insights into how this Israel of God actually functioned.
Okay.
And what we can learn from their practices.
Okay, I'm definitely ready to hear more about that. Let's unpack it in part three. So we've been talking about this radical vision of the Israel of God, this community of love and unity and service that Paul is so passionate about. But like, how did that actually play out in their daily lives?
Yeah.
Like, what did it look like, practically speaking?
That's where things get really interesting. Hodge spends a lot of time in his book exploring the practical implications of Paul's letter.
Okay.
He argues that this wasn't just some kind of theological treatise.
Right.
It was a call to a radical transformation of every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
Even worship.
Now, when we talk about worship, we usually think about, you know, singing songs or going to church.
Mm-hmm.
But Hodge seems to have a little bit of a different perspective on that.
He does. He points out that for Paul, true worship wasn't about rituals or ceremonies.
Okay.
It was about this complete reorientation of the heart, a turning away from self-centeredness and toward a life of love and service.
So less about outward actions and more about an inward transformation that then spills out into how we live our lives.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hodge actually highlights Galatians chapter 4, where Paul describes the old way of life as being enslaved to weak and miserable principles.
Okay.
And Hodge interprets that as referring to all these empty rituals and legalistic practices that have become a barrier to like genuine connection with God and each other.
It's like they were stuck in this endless loop of trying to earn God's favor through all these external actions instead of actually experiencing the freedom of a relationship based on grace and love.
That's a great way to put it. And Hodge argues that for Paul, Jesus's coming just totally shattered that system of legalism.
Wow.
And it opened up this whole new way of worship that was characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. those qualities that we talked about. Love, joy, peace, patience.
Right.
All of that.
So their worship became an expression of like the love and transformation that they had experienced through their relationship with Christ.
It's like their whole lives became an act of worship. Like this fragrant offering to God, as Hodge describes it.
Right.
But it wasn't just about individual piety.
Okay.
This transformed way of living expressed itself in concrete actions.
Right.
In the way they interacted with each other and with the world around them.
Okay. I love tangible examples. Give me the specifics.
Okay.
What did this transformed worship actually look like in practice?
Okay. So Hodge highlights several key practices that characterize the Israel of God. First and foremost, they emphasized radical hospitality.
Yeah.
They welcomed strangers and outsiders into their homes and into their lives.
Right.
Breaking down social barriers that had existed for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And this was especially radical in a culture where social status and ethnic divisions were so deeply ingrained.
It's like they were taking the words of Hebrews to heart. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about providing food and shelter.
Right.
It was about embracing people from all walks of life as equals.
Right.
Sharing their lives and resources with those in need, regardless of background or social standing. They were extending that same radical grace and love that they received from Christ to everyone they encountered.
Man, it's amazing to think about how countercultural that would have been.
It is.
In their time. But Hodge doesn't stop there. He points to another key practice of this community.
You're right. He highlights their unwavering commitment to justice and reconciliation. They were actively involved in addressing the social ills of their day.
Right.
Seeking to bring healing and restoration to those who were marginalized and oppressed.
Yeah.
They didn't just sit around talking about love.
Right.
They put it into action.
Right.
Fighting for fairness and equality in their society.
So their worship wasn't confined to the four walls of a church building.
Right.
It was spilling out into the streets, into the marketplace.
Yeah.
Into the very fabric of their society.
Exactly. And that this is where Hodge's insights get really challenging and relevant for us today.
Okay.
He's not just giving us a history lesson here. He's asking us to look at our own lives and our communities and ask ourselves, how are we embodying this transformed worship?
Mm.
Are we simply going through the motions of religious rituals?
Right.
Or are we allowing our hearts to be radically reoriented toward love, service, and justice?
It's a question that really cuts to the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, isn't it?
It does.
Like, it's not enough to just talk about love and unity.
Right.
We're called to live it out.
Yeah.
To make it a tangible reality in the world around us.
Yeah.
But sometimes that feels so overwhelming.
It does.
Like, where do we even begin?
Yeah, Hodge doesn't give us like a step-by-step guide or anything, but he does remind us that this kind of transformed living flows from a transformed heart.
Mm.
It starts with allowing the love of Christ to penetrate our deepest fears and insecurities, to heal our wounds and break down the walls that we've built around ourselves.
Right.
It's in that place of vulnerability and surrender that we can really begin to experience the freedom and joy of living in this Israel of God.
That makes a lot of sense. Right. We can't just force ourselves to be more loving or more just.
Right.
It has to flow from an inner transformation.
Yeah.
That's rooted in our relationship with God.
And remember, this isn't about achieving some kind of moral perfection.
Right.
It's about allowing the grace of God to work in and through us to empower us to live out our faith.
Right.
In a way that reflects the beauty and the radical love of this Israel of God.
This has been such an insightful deep dive.
It has.
Hodge has given us so much to think about.
Yeah.
And I hope it's inspired our listeners to kind of rethink what it means to be a part of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about believing the right things or following the rules.
Right.
It's about embracing this radical way of life that's marked by love and unity and service.
Yeah.
A way of life that challenges the status quo and points toward the reality of God's kingdom breaking into our world.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Into Ken Hodge's Studies in Galatians.
It's a great book.
May it inspire us all to embrace the radical love and unity that defines the true Israel of God.